When you don't go to Geico.com, car insurance can be confusing. Like Swedish techno confusing.
Bark, bark, meow, meow. Dance with me, purple cow. Bark, bark, meow, meow. Ooh, you lovely cow.
Geico makes it easy. With 24/7 access, all you have to do is go to Geico.com and you could save money on car insurance. It just makes sense. Unlike, you know.
Dance with me, purple cow. I like your moves.
Blog Talk Radio.
My name is Jacqueline Charles, and I'm the host of the show. I just want to give people a background about Women Are Worthy. I created this platform to amplify the voices of people who would not necessarily get heard. We have people in the community that are doing amazing things, and this young guy that we have, he's doing an amazing job. So I created this radio platform. So, again, as I said, people who are doing amazing things, but somehow we don't know who they are and what they're doing. So we're including men. The name of the show is Women Are Worthy, but we are not excluding men. So I want to let everyone know, if you're not following us on social media, please follow us on Instagram, Facebook. Our Facebook page is Women Are Worthy, IG, we're Women Are Worthy Radio, and Twitter, we are Women_Worthy. We're available to do panel events, motivational speaking, and should you need to sponsor the Women Are Worthy radio show, please feel free to contact us at 770-480-2269 or by email womenareworthy@att.net. Okay, I got housekeeping out of the way. I want you guys, I'm fanning out right now because I am so lucky and so honored to have this wonderful guy on the show. Please join us in welcoming my fellow favorite Atlanta. No, I'm not just Atlanta, the entire world vegan. He's a vegan chef. I have the honor to have the great Chef Zoo, who's with King Apron, on our show. But before I go any further, I want to thank Tracy Thomas from the Black Vegetarian Society of Georgia. She introduced me and told me to contact this guy. And the rest, I should say, is history. Chef Zoo is a philanthropist, an activist, and a phenomenal chef. He allows farm to table to become a reality. He's a ghostwriter. Yeah, this guy has many talents. He is a ghostwriter. He's a wonderful light and a beautiful spirit in this world. So without further ado, hello, Chef Zoo, how you doing?
All righty, yourself, how are you doing today, Jacqueline?
I'm doing wonderful. I got to take a sip because you're doing so many things that I couldn't even list everything in that intro. My goodness. Thank you for agreeing to be a guest on the show. Now, I'm just going to go right into it. I've had so many questions when I told people that you were going to be on the show. So what I'd like to ask, Chef Zoo, why did you decide to fuse hip-hop, health, and wellness to make others make a change in a plant-based lifestyle? Why did you choose that route?
Well, I guess it goes into organizing. And, you know, when you're organizing, you're trying to basically connect goal that has to do with community-based interest, you know, to the community. And I'm a really avid member of the hip-hop community. And then I started to see a lot of the brothers who came in and cultivated the culture, some of the trendsetters, the forefathers, the vanguards, are slowly starting to pass away now. Because if we do our math, we know that hip-hop is going to be 42 years old in November, November the 12th. So when you look at, like, let's say Tribe Called, you know, a worldwide act that, you know, everybody's heard of, Tribe Called Quest, or just about everybody, and then you say, okay, the brother Fife Dawg, you know, passes away, I think he was like 45 or something.
Right.
You know, so, and then you look at Kimbo Slice and you look at Sean P, and we had a bunch of deaths in the hip-hop community this year alone. So, you know, that was kind of the vibration, like, you know, organizing in the community around other things, police violence. I did home justice, you know, fighting for people's homes. And I've always wanted to be involved with the community, but trying to find my niche in organizing, one day it just hit me like a ton of bricks. Like, why don't you organize more in the hip-hop community, being you're already a part of that? And what's the void? You know, you always come to fill the void, right? So what's the void? Like, what's mm-hmm. not being organized? What's not being given enough attention right now in hip-hop? And automatically it was health. And then from health, it was, well, how do we deal with our health, you know, immediately? What's the quickest and most accessible way? And that was food, you know. So that's kind of how it sparked, you know.
Well, I got to ask this question because I just have to, you know, watching the movie. When did you first fall in love with hip-hop?
I was pretty young. I would say about 1985, 86, and that would have put me about 5 years old.
Okay. Now, I love what you're doing because not only some people talk about, oh, let's do this, and they're not doing it. You're going in, Chef Sue, and you're making a change in the community. How do you feel about what you're doing?
I feel good, but I never get too caught up in the accomplishment. You know, you have to take a minute out and do self-care.
Mm-hmm.
So you got to say, okay, let's say we have a book bag drive. And we're going to work on a book bag drive for a month and a half. And then after the book bag drive's over, you know, you're really supposed to sit down, take a minute out, recoup, take care of your body, your mind, your soul before going on into another project. But a lot of times, you know, for me, I feel like there's so much more work that needs to be done. So I never get caught up in, like, what little we do. You know how they say, like, you know, a man that thinks that he knows everything knows nothing at all. You know, so I always say, like, what little I know. So it's the same thing for what I do. It's like, what little I do, you know, because it's so much more that needs to be done when we look at the state of our communities, especially brown and black communities.
Right.
You know, so that's usually how I feel. Like, I do feel good about doing the work, but then I automatically feel like there's no time to clap and applaud too much because you got to get right back to work.
You know, for those listening, I want you guys to understand, I met this guy, we met us on Buford Highway, and he's humble on the radio. This is exactly who this guy is in person. What you see is what you get with Chef Zoo. I am just so proud of him, and, you know, and also he's starting King's Apron. So for anyone out there that's looking to contact him or possibly make some contribution to his nonprofit organization, or you're looking for him to come out and do some speaking engagements, Chef Zoo, can you please give them your contact information?
Yes, primarily we would focus on our email, which would be King's Apron. That's KINGSAPRON@gmail.com. KingsApron@gmail.com. And we do have social sites too, but everything would be under King's Apron. So King's Apron, Facebook, King's Apron, YouTube, King's Apron, Twitter. And just to let the public know that this is a new program that's being started, you know. So on April the 21st, hip-hop and bumped it its 10th element. We had 9, so now we have 10. And the 10th was hip-hop. Well, it actually was health and wellness. So that's how we,
right.
you know, stick around with this hip-hop health and wellness. I would say that, you know, you can find me all over the Internet under King's Apron, you know, but at the same time, if you want to talk about a workshop or a demo, you know, it would probably be best to email us. So, you know,
okay.
once again, when you go into these social networks, just know that as of April 21st, as when hip-hop inducted the 10th element, health and wellness, is kind of when we started to say, okay, we're going to make a change and start this nonprofit. So a lot of our social pages are new. We have everything up, but, you know, we haven't got to sharing pictures and doing a lot of the posts yet. So, you know, just to head this up to the people that are going to go out there tonight and try to find me online.
Right. Chef Zhu, you're introducing agriculture to the community. Why did you decide to go that route, and how does it benefit the community? For those who are like, why is he doing that?
Well, agriculture is a beautiful thing. One, I mean, there's so many different reasons, but one thing, I'll try to say a couple things that probably aren't the cliche reasons. One thing is when you deal with growing soil, there's a study that has been done that placing your hands in soil, this would be a form of carbon or ether. It's the same thing that when you look at the night sky that everything is made of, right? Like, it's like almost the
mm-hmm.
inside of a woman, right? Because it's that complete darkness. If you look at soil, you see it's black. When you plant a seed underneath that black soil, it's like another state of darkness. Study says that as you place your hands into soil, that it literally raises the brain's level of consciousness. So that was awesome. I said, okay, if I put my hands in soil more, I could slightly become more conscious by being in tune with the nature and the universe. So that was like one reason, you know, for me. It was just like, because I want to become more conscious. But outside of that, you know, I would just say that it goes back to those same, you know, key reasons, food, clothing, and shelter. You know, so let's just start to deal with those things. And as we do, we'll realize that there are plants that can be used for all of those things. Like, you can eat vegetables that you grow. You could actually, like hemp. Hemp can be used for clothing. Cotton, that's a plant. It can be used for clothing. You know, so that's your clothing, food, clothing, and then shelter. Even now, they're doing, like, hempcrete, like concrete, but hempcrete. And it's like supposed to be the newest way to go, the most sustainable way to go when building a home or a living habitat. So with the agriculture, you could actually touch all of those three key things that everybody needs to survive: food, clothing, and shelter.
Wow. See, whenever I talk to you, you're always dropping knowledge. And I'm telling you guys, he's very modest, but I want you guys to know he created and presented programs for the Boys and Girls Club of Atlanta and the Atlanta Public Library, school systems, also churches, mosques. This guy is phenomenal. Please check him out on social media. Please check him out on King's Apron, you know, Twitter, Instagram, especially his Instagram page. It is phenomenal. He does this thing where, you know, he has recipes, and his presentation, the food is phenomenal. I'm kind of hungry right now, Chef, so I'm going to have to get with you and find out. I'm serious, because your food is just appealing, and it's healthy, and it's just appetizing. Okay, my question to you is, most often when you're talking to people who are trying to change people's lifestyle, they don't meet people where they are. Why is it important to you to meet people where they are and then help them transition?
I mean, mathematically, it would be correct. Like, if we just added it up, like, let's just say I asked you to come to the studio because I'm going to the studio after this interview. So I said, Jacqueline, why don't you come to the studio? And you say, sure. But I got there before you. So I know the gate code. I know that there's a security guard there. I know where the, you know, studio is located. I know that it's kind of dark back there, so I might want to come outside and meet you to make sure that you're not coming in the studio too dark, right? So I could literally meet you where you are easier than you can meet me where I am, because you don't know where I am yet, right? You haven't got there yet. So this is the whole mindset of meeting people where they are. Because if we're talking about plant-based and we're saying, Chef Zhu, you're a vegan food scientist, that's really what I am, not just a chef. You know, so you're a food scientist, but I don't know nothing about, well, I know everything about food and I know everything about science, but I don't know nothing about food science, you know, so it would be much easier for me to step back, grab the person's hand, meet them where they are, and then walk them in with me. And it would be like proper etiquette, too. It would show manners, you know, like my grandmother always told me, you know, to, you know, show manners, you know, somebody, you walk in somebody's house, take your hat off, you know what I'm saying? Or take your shoes off, things like that. So it's that same type of idea to where if you really want to see somebody walk the same walk as you because you think it's better or because you know it's healthier or whatever reason you have, you know, to bash someone and say, well, you need to do this and you need to do that, that's only going to push the person further away. It's kind of like me arguing with you. You would say, look, brother, I ain't got time for that low vibration. I'm about to go do my thing, you know what I'm saying? Go have some dinner with my husband and go to the park, but I don't have time for arguing. So, you know, meeting someone where they are when you're a step ahead of them is the correct, you know, process to go about. A lot of times you find people that have walked down this path and got down the path a little bit faster than someone else, and they're kind of like, you know, come on, you need to come on. You know what I'm saying? It's like you don't know that person's situation. You know, they could have a busted ankle, you know, a bad back, anything that's keeping them, and this is metaphorically, you know, so metaphorically in the mindset of diet, the person might have a bad back, you know, where it's like, I can't carry this load properly, or it could be I haven't been educated enough yet, you know, and this is what you could do if you met the person where they were. You could then educate them, pull them forward, you know, put a splint on their leg for them so they can make it on down the road. So that's how we attack the whole situation. You know, it is an attack, too, because we're going against, like, these entities and powers that are actually, this is war that we're in. You know, when we talk about the diet and the food and the state of Black America, yeah, this is definitely war. So we attack the situation like that and meet the person where they are. And if they really want to come in, then we walk them in.
You just mentioned it's a war, and it is a war. When did you decide that you were going to fully become or live the plant-based lifestyle, and why?
Okay, I decided about 5 years ago, but I committed fully 3 years ago. And the main reason why, well, there's two reasons. Like, so as I first started to have the thought 5 years ago, it was automatically I started to do some studying, and the brother passed away this week, Dr. Sabi. You know, so one, he was one of the people I ran into when I started studying. And he talked about blood and flesh, and he talked about starch and how these things are killing us as a people. But it primarily in the Black community, that we eat a whole lot of starches, a whole lot of fried chicken, a whole lot of fish, you know, fried fish and things like that. So when he mentioned that, you know, he said, you know, flesh and blood and starch. Then I started to do some more researching, and then I found out about, you know, food having a vibration, and that the things that are still living and or plant-based material would have a higher resonance or frequency vibration than anything that is dead. For instance, if I had a styrofoam cup, and I threw it in the lake, you would see the cup float. Okay, now if I had a brick and I threw it in the lake, you would see the brick sink. This is the equivalent to eating like a T-bone steak would be like the brick falling into the water, whereas like the leafy green, the kale, or the collard would be like the styrofoam cup that would float. So, you know, it's just simple math and science to figure out that the more plant-based, the more electric foods that I eat, I would be able to float, right? I would have like this higher vibration about myself. So once again, it was all about that level of, I wanted to become more conscious. I wanted to get in tune with myself a little bit better. because I see that things wasn't going right for myself as well as for my whole community. So that's the main reason, you know, 5 years back. And then when I say 3 years, I committed, I had a son. And I said, at this point, I'm going to allow him to experience plant-based lifestyle. Like, he came in the world plant-based lifestyle, you know. You know what I'm saying? Because his mother was already, like I said, 2 years before the 3 years, his mother was already experiencing all of this plant-based lifestyle, you know. So that's really what he was getting. It was like probably 95% of that. She might have had a little bit of cheese or a little bit of meat here and there, but it was almost like she was almost a vegan. So we just said, well, let him have that then, you know, because we want him to have the highest vibration. We want him to be conscious as possible. And, you know, I can give reference points. I don't want to do it now because I'm,
right,
you know, on the phone with you, and then I got to do something else after. But if anybody, you know, listens and says, well, I don't know about that or I don't know about that, I always tell people, one, do your research. Don't take my word for it. But two, if you ever feel like, well, I tried to research it, but I couldn't find what you said, then you got my email. Email me, and I can get you the reference or the site, you know, I could cite the reference for you, so that this way you have that and could learn from it and pass it on. And that's to anybody listening.
I just got a call in, and someone wanted to know. They said they understand, you know, for those who don't understand about vibration and consciousness, what are the simple, you know, in simple terms, can you say if someone is on the fence, they want to become, they want to get into the plant-based lifestyle or veganism, what is the most simplest thing you can say in order to for them to jump over the fence? You know, they're not understanding about the consciousness or the awareness. What one thing can you say, or a couple of things you can say that, hey, this is why, you know, I think you should try, you know, plant-based lifestyle?
Well, just to define consciousness for anyone who might not get the term off the top, but you already know what
mm-hmm.
it is, right? So, but we say consciousness.
Yes.
The true definition of consciousness, which I'm speaking on, is where the right and the left hemisphere of the brain. So you have two sides of your brain. They both work in balance at the same time to figure out situations. Okay, so a lot, like if we get into the brain, we'll figure out that we really use only a part of our brain, right?
Mm-hmm.
And when I say a part, I'm saying like a small percentage of it. We're using both sides, but they're really small percentages of both sides. So to become conscious is when both sides work in unison. They're working together like brother and sister, you know, and the brother and sister is aiding the parent, right? So, like, for instance, my mother used to be like, boy, when I get home from this grocery store, you better be at the door, you know, and already I didn't have to ask for what. She just said, when I get back from the grocery store, so when I get back from the grocery store, you already know, be by the door to bring the bags in. It's the same type of mindset, you know, you want to, you know, the child wants to aid and assist the parent, right? You know, so this is the same type of mindset when we talk about consciousness and the right and the left brain working together. It's like that child that wants to help the parent. The body would be almost
right.
The parent. The brain would be the child. But even on a simpler level, though, it's just basically, once again, we all want to be, you don't want to be weighed down. Right? You know how it feels like? You ever felt weighed down when you did something, you went through something? It could have been a job, a relationship, just somebody who, you know, it could have been a personal relationship. It could have been a friend type of relationship. But you just, after the situation, you just felt weighed down. You know, and usually,
yeah.
You know, the advice would be to cut it off. You know, don't let this weigh you down. You know, so that's just simple for me, like to know that this meat is heavy and it will weigh the body down, but the vegetables is light and will allow me to walk easier. Because my walk is already hard, you know, what I got to do. You know, I have situations in my family that I still have to deal with and help people. I'm working on the King's Apron thing. You know, I do have help from the community, but a lot of that stuff I do myself. Then I have my personal life. I have children, a wife. So, you know, the walk is not easy. So why would I want to have more weight on my back as I'm already walking this difficult walk? You just seen the sister Biles dominate the Olympics, right? 19-year-old sister.
Yeah.
She won, like, everything, right? You ain't see her running around with no book bag on her back doing no slips, though. She didn't want to weigh herself down.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So if you look, she didn't have baggy clothes on or boots on or none of that stuff. It's kind of like I got the bodysuit, which is tight, you know, to the skin. It's almost like I don't have anything on because I don't want to weigh myself down. So this is what happens when we continuously put heavier foods in our body. You know, fried foods with a lot of grease, a lot of starch, a lot of potatoes. You put it on a scale, all of that stuff weighs really heavy. But you throw some, you know, some vegetables on a scale, it doesn't weigh as heavy. So, you know, just to answer it on a simpler level, I would just say that, you know, the fruits and the vegetables will allow you to cut some of the excess baggage and in that process have an easier walk. And I do want to mention this, too, that when we get into being overweight and we get into stored body fat, so a person says, yeah, you know, I got a little pudge right there, I got a little pudge right there. It is said that depression, anxiety, and trauma stores itself in excess body fat. So let's say you got into a car accident, it was traumatizing, it could have been something as simple as you riding down the street and a deer just runs into your windshield. You know, that's very traumatizing. So you didn't kill anyone. The deer actually, you know, skipped off after he hit. But just to be in that moment, to see that the car was, you know, damaged, that the deer could have got hurt, of course, that you could have got hurt, it's just like, man, I'm so scared now to drive after that. Could you imagine being in that type of accident and then having to drive off and continuously go home? You know, so this is the situation that we're dealing with right now. You know, it's a whole bunch of trauma that we're going through. You know, if we look at the, let's say, Black Lives Matter and all of this stuff that's going on, and not to say that, you know, Black Lives Matter has anything to do with what's going on. This is going on way before that. But I think that's an umbrella that everybody could relate to, whether good or bad or disagreeable or agreeable. But when we start to look at that situation, we see that it's trauma, right? Have you seen the guy, Philando, get shot in the car with his girlfriend? And then the Corinne Gaines last week got shot in the house with her son? You know, just watching this stuff, I'm not her brother, like, biologically, you know? But watching it just on Instagram alone put some trauma on myself, right? So as we go through these things that are traumatizing, different levels of depression and anxiety, these things store themselves in excess body fat. So bringing me back to why would you want to eat something that is plant-based and not really too many of the meats and the starches? That's why, because these things actually put extra weight on you. Then they store as fat, and then the depression could actually sit in the excess fat. So now you're literally carrying unneeded and unwanted depression, anxiety, and trauma as you go on and try to get through the next day. But I want an easier walk. You know, the walk has been hard enough. I wouldn't want it much harder. So if I had to choose, I would say easier. Right, I wouldn't say harder. I would definitely say easier. I'm fine with what I have now. Don't get me wrong. Right, I don't feel like, you know, oh, my life's so hard, I can't make it do it. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying if I had a choice to decide between do you want an easier walk or do you want a harder walk, I would ask for easier. Right, so it's not about me asking for it. It's about me working to get it, bringing me right back to plant-based lifestyle. That's how I work to get it, you know.
And, you know, and I agree with you because someone asked me, well, Jackie, you know, you're a vegan. How, what's the difference? You know, what's the purpose? And for me, it's almost like when you're eating, if you're not doing plant-based lifestyle, you're in a fog. It's foggy. You can't, there isn't any clarity. And I've noticed myself that there is clarity. You feel lighter on your feet and your brain is not fogged up with unnecessary things. That's just how I feel when you're eating a plant-based lifestyle. Because
and you're
right.
So right.
The other
stuff is weighing you down.
You
hit the bullseye with that, because another thing that happens is when we eat heavier foods, they don't even always have to be meat, like a lot of extra starches. Things that are harder to break down, but definitely meat is at the top of the list, and then after meat would be starch. the body takes a tremendous amount of energy to break down these foods. So all of the blood from the body, the majority of it, goes to the stomach to aid in digestion, to aid in breaking this food down. And this means that when the majority of the blood flow goes to the stomach, that there's not enough blood flow to the brain. So now we can't think properly. And that's when you said it's a level of cloudiness. That's exactly what you get when you eat a whole lot of meat, because your body's taking all of the blood and all of the energy that you have and putting it in your torso and in your stomach area, right around your intestines. But you really want that blood to be, you know, evenly dispersed, or having enough to just make sure that the brain can maintain proper thought. You know, so that's key to know that it's not just a myth or a thought. That scientifically, when you eat the meat and the starches, that the body takes more blood to break it down, which leaves less blood for the brain, so we can't think as quick and as swift as we want to. But as you start to deal with more vegetables, the body doesn't need as much blood. It doesn't need as much energy to go to the stomach, leaving a little bit more for the brain. So now you can think clearly at the drop of a dime.
For those of you tuning in, we have the one and only plant-based scientist, Chef Zhu. Chef Zhu, can you tell us a little bit, not a little bit, tell us what's going on with King's Apron. I was so excited when I met with you and you were talking to me about King's Apron. But for those who do not know, can you tell us, the mission of King's Apron?
Yeah, in a nutshell, we do a lot of stuff, but basically we focus on agriculture, culinary arts, and fitness. And, the whole umbrella campaign would be hip-hop, health, and wellness. So, through our hip-hop communities, we bring these different tools of agriculture, culinary arts, and fitness to these communities in hopes of creating a vibration of health and wellness. So in a nutshell, that's what it is. But, we do workshops right now at the library. We just did one. We just scheduled our next one. So we're working with the Atlanta Library Public System. We also just signed a contract with the Atlanta Community Food Bank, which is pretty big. It's they do all types of food for people in need throughout Atlanta. But they've been here through years. They're funded by the city, and they're really, really big. But we're going to start doing some food demos with them every Thursday through a program called SNAP, which is a program for food stamp recipients, people in low-income situations, low-income communities that do get food stamps. They can actually come to certain locations in Atlanta and purchase twice as much or two for one on the dollar if they're buying fruits and vegetables. So you come spend $25, you get $50 of food. You come spend $50, you get $100 of food. All you got to do is be a food stamp recipient and come to a location that accepts SNAP. And where I'll be doing the demo at with the Atlanta Community Food Bank is a SNAP location. So that's like the newest thing that we're doing right now, is that we're going to start doing food demos every Thursday at this neighborhood grocery store that has fruits and vegetables. And we'll try to get more people in to watch the demos. But at the same time, it's a low-income community. We're hoping that some of the people that have the food stamps opt into buying more fruits and vegetables and now saving money so that they have more money to do other things with. Because, I've seen it before. It's like I got to eat, but I got to pay my bills, and I got a lot of bills. I got insurance. I got a car. I got a car, a house note. I got my daughter started school this week. My son started school this week. Car broke down. My wife, she got sick. She took off a couple weeks from work. And, it's like you're trying to make ends meet. So in this situation, I think it's beautiful that someone could go and spend $25 and get $50 or spend $50 or get $100 or spend $100 or get $200. There is no max. Like, you just go and spend what you need. but you get twice as much. Now you can save something, you know. So these are the type of programs that we're really interested in doing, things that, like, you know, workshops that deal with the community to where we could actually, you know, talk about a subject, a couple subjects, actually do like a small hands-on workshop. We might plant something or whatever the case may be, but then discuss it, probably eat together. You know, that's kind of like what our workshops are. You know, it's like we have this program, you come out, we teach a little bit, then we have everybody in the room do something so you get your hands involved with it. And then in the course of that, you know, or by the end, we're usually breaking bread together. Workshop, the demo, you know, so we would show someone how to cook live, like Benihana style, where I'm cooking right in front of you so you can kind of catch every little step along the way. And then you can take that concept, you know, back home or share it with someone else and be able to do it, you know, yourself. A garden installation. You know, we've done a bunch of gardens. There's a nonprofit here called Love Anwar Farms, who is a sister that basically has an urban farm in Atlanta, and she takes a lot of the fruits and vegetables that she harvests, and she gives them to it was another nonprofit that she had, and I'm pretty sure she still has it. I think they're linked together, but it's MOBB, Mothers of Brown and Black Babies. This is where most of her food goes to. It's mothers in need in low-income communities, again, that, you know, need a little bit of food to get by the week. She's always said that I used to be a mother that needed. And I said that when I get out of this situation and I don't need, I'm going to make a situation to where anyone else that needs could at least get some help from me. So we put like 7 garden beds in her farm, you know, helped her out and got her up to where she's like pushing out a lot of vegetables now. You know, so garden installation. We also do fitness, you know, so I've done like but we're going to do more because we have other people that work, you know, with the nonprofit. But I've done childhood obesity and things like that, you know, around the state of the youth in America, you know, workshops and presentations at Boys and Girls Clubs. And we did PS197 in New York a couple months ago. We went out there and fed 200 children. And we performed for them. We did some hip-hop, performed for them, had them doing jumping jacks and push-ups on the stage. And then we had, like, plant-based tacos, you know, no meat in the taco.
Right.
Well, you know, it's a bunch of stuff we do, but just trying to describe some of it instead of just saying a workshop, trying to give a person a little bit of insight on what the workshop would be like without taking up too much time, you know, but... It's a bunch, you know. I mean,
so
I named a little, but
you did, and I want everyone to go on your, you know, on your page to look at to see what you're doing. So, what book would you recommend that someone read, or that you have in your arsenal that you're reading that you would recommend? One book.
If I could do one book right now, it's so many I have, but I'll say you said one, so I'll say The China Study. That's a book called The China Study. And this was definitely
okay.
A bestseller, like for multiple. It was definitely a bestseller for multiple years. But it just breaks down some of the facts that you would need to know about plant-based lifestyle, and how, like in China and other countries other than America, you know, how that diet works for people and life expectancy and levels of diseases, and a lot of this stuff was studied. You know, to where how many people come down with cancer that eat meat, how many people come down with cancer that eat vegetables, you know, so, and then you get the answer in a book like this. So I would just say off the top of my head, The China Study.
What's your idea of happiness for you?
Of happy?
Happiness.
Happiness. Okay. I think happiness would be, for me, to be in tune with nature and the universe, you know, for me. I'm totally happy when I feel like I'm in tune with the universe and nature.
Wow. Now, let me ask you a question, another question here. If, let's say, President Obama, on his way out, he says, you know what, Chef Zhu, you're doing wonderful things with King's Apron. I'm going to appoint you to be the president of the FDA, and I'm going to allow you to implement two things that I'm going to turn this into a law. Two things right now. The other things we can wait on, but two things. What two things would you want to implement right away and why?
Two things I would implement right away would be, the list is so long. But let's see. I would say, no processed meats. It's just no more. No more processed meats. It's terrible. Like, the processed meats, a lot of times it's MSM. MSM means mechanically severed meat. So a lot of times when an animal is slaughtered for food, they'll take the best parts of the meat right away, right? So they take the skin off the animal, then they take the big piece of the shoulder, the big piece of the calf, the big piece of the thigh, you know, and then it's like just a bunch of bones and skeleton, like carcass left, basically. And what they do is they take these really hard, high-powered pressure washers, and they spray the carcass, and they get all of the little remnants of meat off of the bones, and it actually hits the floor and goes down like a drain. Hold on one second now. This is crazy. We're talking about health and an ice cream truck with all of these chemicals is right by me right now. And he had the nerve to look at me like, hey, bro, you ain't want nothing for sure? I mean, you sure you don't want nothing? No, I'm sure. I'm good. And turn that music down,
that's
man.
The devil.
What are you about?
That's the devil. That's so funny.
But,
ice cream truck driving
yeah,
by.
Hilarious. And he got the music blasting on 25. Like, I thought it went up to 10. He got it on 25. But mechanically severed meat, right? So when we talk about, like, you know, why you say, like, no processed meats, like lunch meat, bologna and stuff like that, like, you don't want no more bologna sandwiches? All that stuff is mechanically severed meat. It's like I said, it's the carcass of the animal. They took the good meat off. There's bones left. There's little scraps of meat hanging off the bones. They hit it with a high amount of water. They just spray it so hard that all the little pieces and shreds of meat actually go, it hits the floor, goes into like a drop bucket, then they take that, throw it in a machine. Before you know it, that stuff starts to turn green and brown. It starts to mold. So what they do is they put color in it to turn it back to the color of a bologna. Then they put perfume in it to make it smell like bologna. Then they run it through another machine that molds it into like that log-looking thing, and then they slice it and package it and send it on out. You know, and this is like,
so would that be hot dogs?
It's like,
would
basic,
that be like hot dogs too?
Yeah, definitely hot dogs,
hot dogs
too. Definitely sausage too. All of that sausage, bratwurst, mm-hmm. hot dogs, all of that stuff.
Wow.
You know, so back
so
in the day,
you,
my grandmother
you know,
used to eat. Back in the day,
upset.
My grandmother used to eat scrapple, and people like used to always turn their nose up to it. Still to this day, when people find out what scrapple is, they say, "Oh my goodness, I can't believe that." But scrapple is the exact same thing. It's just they're taking all of the last pieces that you. It's usually the pig head and the pig hooves and feet. But see, you know, black folks, we started eating pig feet. Right, but they'll take the hooves, they'll make gelatin out of that, you know, jello out of the hooves. You know, but this is so, like, when you say scrapple, ooh, that's so nasty. Like, that's just pig head and, you know, pig feet, you know, just all grounded up and the rest of the pig, like the pig tail and stuff like that. Well, that's what sausage is, and that's what, you know, all of these things are. You know, it's just when we say delicatessen and we say, you know, lunch meat. Those are pretty names for what we're really saying. You know, that's another thing with this Americanized diet that's always been done, is they always have labeled it to dumb down what it really is. You know, so for instance, instead of saying that's dead cow, that's what it should say. When you go to the store, it should say 2 pounds of dead cow. You know, it says beef. And it's easier for you to deal with that. than to deal with two pans a day cow.
Right.
You know, so we got to watch these terminologies that are placed on this stuff because we'll accept that easier than what it really is. So that's why usually these companies don't want to deal with what it really is.
So what's your second?
So you said two. So I said
like
one would be
mm-hmm.
one would be the meat, and then I guess the other would be this whole bovine growth hormone that's put in milk. I don't know if a lot of people even know about that, but it's like this hormone that's given to cows to make them the actual components of this growth hormone that they created. Believe it or not, was actually created from like blood because they needed like these antibodies, and it even deals with like part of this E. coli bacteria, which comes from feces. So they're putting, you know, like this blood in the feces, but there's already blood in your milk anyway, if you didn't know that. They just filter it and tell you that they got it all out. But, you know, so I would do something with this milk industry and these hormones that are placed in these cows because, you know, these cows are literally forced to produce as much milk as possible. You know what I'm saying? They're just forced, like literally just keep shooting the cow up with these hormones so the cow can keep producing milk. But the thing is, as you know, women won't produce milk unless what? When do women produce
milk?
You
mean once we're pregnant? You mean
exactly.
When we're pregnant, having a baby?
So exactly.
Mm-hmm.
So that this is what these cow farmers have to do, or these dairy farmers. They have to impregnate the cow, right? So now the cow has a baby cow, a calf. And then as soon as the cow has the calf, the only reason they impregnated it was to get the milk. So that's sick in itself, right? That we're just going to make sure that this cow stays pregnant so that we can get more milk. So as soon as the cow has the baby or the calf, we're going to take the calf away right away. Now, if the baby is not another female calf, we're going to kill it right away. That's a boy cow, right? So that's
mm-hmm.
meat. That's right away. That's meat. We don't need to do nothing with that because we're dairy farmers. So I can't use a male cow because a male cow can't get pregnant and a male cow can't produce the milk. So we just kill the boy baby right away. The little baby boy cow, kill it right away. That's meat. So now you got ground beef that you wanted. But then past that, if it's a baby female cow, they take that cow right away. And then they give that cow a bunch of hormones to make it grow faster so that then it could produce milk faster. But in the whole process, the mother only wanted what any mother would want. If you had a child and you held the child to full term, I'm pretty sure you would want to have your child. So the cow just really wants its baby. And the cow is going through tremendous states of depression because think about it. You just went through all of these months of being pregnant, and now this man came and took your baby away from you. So now you're depressed. But before you can get over depression, they come and stick this tube in you and then impregnate you again. So you have another boy cow. They take that cow and they kill that cow, and then they impregnate you again. Then you have a little baby girl cow. Then they take that cow, give it steroids, but they're taking it away from the mother and impregnate that cow again. Now, all of these levels of trauma and stress and depression, once again, transmit through the milk. So as we start to eat items that are like dairy, like let's say ice cream or milkshakes, or we're drinking things like coffee creamers, but they're dairy-based, we're actually taking in a lot of the depression, the anxiety, the trauma that this cow is getting during the time that it was producing the milk. So I would X that out. You know, I didn't want to go too long with it, but I had to explain why.
So that's
I mean, it's
the
so
term
much more
you
I could say,
you
like
eat.
You said, you know.
Yeah, that tends to turn you are what you eat. Well, earlier I asked Chef Zhu what book would he recommend, and he was talking about, it's a book called The China Study. And for those of you, I'll just let you know, the book, it's A Startling Implication for Diet, Weight Loss, and Long-Term Health. And the book was written by T. Colin Campbell, Ph.D., and co-written by Thomas M. Campbell II. So it's The China Study. Now, I want to take this time to say, you know, we had a passing, you know, in the community, Dr. Sabee, and this man was, you know, phenomenal. So we want to give respect and we want to send our condolences out to his family, you know, just a lot of things surrounding that. But this guy, he was, there was just major, major things that he put out in the community for us, how to eat well, how to live a longer life. He has done a lot of studies. He's cured cancer. So please go out there and read his, you know, go on YouTube, check him, you know, check out his work and what he's done. He's done amazing things in the community. And I can't believe we have 10 minutes left. I mean, this just went really fast. And I'm glad I didn't fan out on you, Chef Zhu, because I'm telling you, you and King's Apron and what you're doing, you're just doing, you know, it's just commendable. And I just want you to know I have the utmost respect for you. I sat down with you. We had a conversation. You didn't even blink twice when I asked you to be on the show, because that's the purpose of this show, not just to educate, but to get people and let's just have create a discussion, you know, to help other people understand how to live a better life and how to help people get through whatever they're going through. So I definitely want to thank you for being on the show. You're just a light. You're a, you know, in this dark world that we're living in, you're one of the few, and there's many out there, so I shouldn't say few, that just giving us some hope on how to eat well, and you're just a positive light. So I definitely want to thank you for being on the show.
Oh, and thank you for having me. And for anybody out there, too, like, you know, and I appreciate you so much. Like, what you said is definitely correct, but I do want to just let everybody know that I am very normal in the sense of I don't have much more than anybody else. And when I say that, I mean to let everyone know that your focus is your power, right? So whatever you really want in life, whatever you really want for yourself, your family, your community, the nation, the world, you know, if you focus on it enough, during the process, you're going to have to sacrifice something. So you're going to need focus and sacrifice. But this will directly create and birth power. And you'll be able to use that power for exactly what you want. So, it's, you know, like you said, meeting me doing King's Apron, now I'm getting emails from city officials about new programs. And I don't even have to work as hard as I was working, you know, because I focused on it long enough that it produced power. And now the power is kind of working its own type of magic, you know. So I just want to tell everybody that, because they hear people, and even I hear people, like the first time I heard Dr. Shubby, you know, I thought that he was a man that knew so much that I would never be able to unlock these doors. But he reminded all of us that you are Dr. Sebi, and I'm not more special than what you are. I'm just Dr. Sebi. You know, so I just really want to push that vibration to anyone. If you're trying to learn how to heal, if you're trying to go vegan, if you want to do vegetarian, if you just want to change in your life, you know, focus on it. You're going to have to sacrifice a little bit, and I guarantee you, you'll hit the bullseye, and it'll be power right there. Every time.
And that applies in every area of your life, because once you focus and you're dedicated to it, it will come. Whether it's in your business, it will come. You just have to,
and
like you said,
good
you
or bad.
Sacrifice.
Good or bad.
Right, but it's worth it.
Yeah.
The sacrifice.
I know one guy that he focuses on, there's one brother I know, he focuses on, he just loves women. So he haven't decided to take one. He loved women, so I guess he think he's macking, like they used to say back in the day, pimping, whatever he thinks he's doing. But my whole point is, focus is on. Every Friday, I got to go get a haircut. I'm going to the club tonight. Last night, I got about 30 numbers at the club last night. Well, that's because you focused on it. You made sure you had the best cologne on. You made sure you had the clothes on. You had your hair sharp. You brought the girl all the drinks at the bar. So you focused on that enough to where you got exactly what you want. Now, for me, that would be bad, right? For him, evidently, it's good. So, you know, but just to let people know, it's not just good. Like, people think, like, okay, so all I got to do is just, you know, focus. But a lot of people are focusing on things that are not good for them. So it definitely goes
right.
both ways that we need, you know what I mean? Pull the focus away mm-hmm. from the things that are not good from you, for you, and put that same focus on something that's good for you. Add a little bit of, this is the recipe, add a little bit of sacrifice, and now you got power.
And with that said, I want to thank again Tracy Thomas for making the introduction. And Tracy Thomas, she's with the Black Vegetarian Society of Georgia. Please go out, like the page. You know, she has amazing things that's going on within the city and the community. So if you want to know what's going on, check out her page. Next week's show, I want to thank everyone for tuning in and supporting the Women Are Worthy page. Please make sure you follow, like us on social media. Again, Women Are Worthy Radio on Facebook, Women Are Worthy Radio on Instagram, and on Twitter we are Women_Are_Worthy. And next week, guest family, at 8 o'clock next Wednesday, we're going to have a Miss Naisha Troutman. She's going to be on our show. She lost 70 pounds, so we're going to go through the journey with her to see how she lost that weight. So for everyone tuning in, I want to thank you for supporting us. Chef Zhu, I can't wait to, you know, link up with you again to see what you're doing. And before we end the interview, anything that you have that you're doing, please send it to me so I can post it on my social media page so I can get, you know, people to follow you and just come out and support your events, because I want you to know you have our full support and our undivided attention, because you're doing wonderful things. You're creating, people talk about generational wealth with money. You're creating generational health, you know. So instead of wealth, it's health, and wealth does equate to health, in my opinion. So I want to thank everyone for tuning in. Good night and blessings, and see you next Wednesday. Good night, everyone. Thank you for tuning in.
Good night,
bye-bye.
Everyone. Bye-bye.
When you don't go to Geico.com, car insurance can be confusing. Like Swedish techno confusing.
Bark, bark, meow, meow. Dance with me, purple cow. Bark, bark, meow, meow. Ooh, you lovely cow.
Geico makes it easy. With 24/7 access, all you have to do is go to Geico.com and you could save money on car insurance. It just makes sense. Unlike, you know.
Dance with me, purple cow. I like your move.